time to move your feet. On the upbeat, so come on and dance with me. Cause life is bitter, life is sweet, and it's got you on the edge of your seat. But you know that life is better, it's always better on the upbeat.
Welcome to On the Upbeat. I'm Matt, and with me this week is members of Nick and the Avisaries. We have, of course, Nick, we have Ben, we have Scott. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Hey, hey.
Great.
Hello.
What's up?
How are you? Good. I'm doing great. How was everyone's Monday? Did anyone look up into the sky and burn their retinas?
I don't know. I had glasses. Those the ones we got from the library. And it was fantastic. We had 93% cover up here for like 4 minutes, so it was not as good as like totality, but yeah. it was pretty good without driving 2 hours. So
yeah, I did not have, I mean, California had like, I don't know what the percentage is, but it was super small. It was like, I didn't even go outside to look at it, but usually if it's significant enough, you know, 93%, you probably would have noticed even without being outside. You just would have looked out your window and said, hey, it's dark. But but yeah. I think we had like, I don't know, like 0.5% or something. There was nothing. I didn't even notice. It's like, is it different? And, you know, my kids, not both of my kids. Only one kid seemed to really care about it. And he said someone let him borrow glasses, and he looked at it and saw it. And I'm like, but did you really see anything? Because I do. I remember in high school seeing, it wasn't even high school. It was elementary. I think it was like a mostly, you know, total eclipse. But
cool.
Yeah. The next one's 2044 in the U.S., but there's 1 in 2 years in Iceland.
Oh, so, let's go there.
Really?
Let's get a gig there. Cool. It's in the summer, so it will be like sunny all day. Like, it'll be 3 hours of darkness there.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was pretty orange here for like most of the afternoon.
Yeah.
It's kind of
eerie.
It got dark for like, it didn't get dark, but dark. It was cool.
Yeah, it was weird.
The street light.
Yeah, it was definitely weird.
Yeah. So, real quick, okay, usually we have a Scott question right up front, and I just thought of this, and myself, different guests, and other co-hosts have all kind of discussed this, but I just was wondering, for the three of you, what defines ska music? Like, how do you define it? And, you know, is there a specific thing that, like, qualifies a band as being a ska band? How does that go for you all?
Can I answer that?
Please.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go for it, Nick. Anything between 1959 and 1966. That's it. No, I don't know. Uh-oh. Yeah, I don't know what the answer is, because ska has become a huge umbrella. Like, back in the day when I was in the Pilfers, I remember our drummer coming to a rehearsal, and he worked with some Jamaican ladies. And he was like, oh, I play in a ska band. And they were like, ska music? That's like my grandfather's music. So, like, their perception of what ska music was probably like more oldies.
Sure.
But then playing in the 90s and, you know, obviously two-tone and everything really expanded that umbrella and reggae. So I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. And it's not really an easy question to answer, really. So
do you feel like
No, go ahead, Scott.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's a good question. It's a really great question, but you can't define it, like he was saying, because it's like, with all these new bands, like, I mean, I'm an older kid, as we all are, and like what we were defined as like ska and reggae, you know, besides the old school stuff, like the third wave, it's changed so much now. Like the bands we play with, like it's like they're ska bands, like they have upbeats, but does it really count as ska? You know what I mean? Is it like punk with ska parts? Like it's really, really weird. You can't define it without putting anybody in a box. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's kind of like with our band. I mean, it started sort of as not really a in the ska realm, but like musicians who are in the ska scene. And then we just kind of like have drifted back into kind of more ska reggae. Not all our tunes, but there's elements of that because it's like in us and like what we come from and like, you know, playing it like Steve and Big D and Kids Table and Pilfers and Scott, you know, Scott and the bands he's been in and Ben. So it's like something kind of in our back pocket that we love. And I mean, my experience in the 90s and to today is really, I think a lot of the bands were trying to push the envelope of, you know, for good and bad, because there was a reaction to that going back to trad ska, you know, when the third wave and the Boston's and a lot of other bands came out, then there was the kind of trad. And, you know, at the same time, there's Hepcat, which like to me are like the best band of, you know, since 1990 or whatever. But so it's like, I think there's like a lot of room for a lot of, you know, I wouldn't, you know, personally, if some band wants to call themselves a ska band without any hyphenations or, you know, like it gets complicated. If you could, like, we could be like, yeah, we're a ska punk reggae mod power pop polka music band or whatever, you know. It's like it gets a little ridiculous after a while. So, you know, I think ultimately, you know, you got, it's just music. It's good. There's good music and bad music. And there's, you know, hopefully it's danceable. To me, ska is like, you know, it's definitely has to be rooted in Jamaica. And then, you know, like Two Tone is all the Jamaican people who emigrated to London and to England and to Coventry. And they all interacted with the working class there and kind of got, you know, there was kind of a cross pollination between English music and, you know, working class music and, you know, mod music and skinhead music and skinhead reggae. And then Two Tone came about. And like, that to me is like one of the pinnacles right there. You know, for me, it doesn't really get better than the Specials or Madness or English Beat Selector. But they kind of called it Two-Tone, right? Like,
right.
But a lot of those songs were like old, you know, original
right.
ska songs, right?
Yeah.
Message to You and all these tunes, they were like just kind of revamping them and giving them a little more of a tight English sort of post-punk sound. Right. So that's kind of what's cool about it, is it seems to be always evolving. And when people start to say ska is dead, something new turns up, because I think ultimately, I mean, look at what the name of your podcast is. It's On the Upbeat, and the upbeat makes people dance.
Right.
It's in, you know, all good dance music has an upbeat. And, you know, I think a lot of people are really love horns and, you know, just the rhythms that are ska and reggae that are, you know, in there. And it seems like there's always some new twist or turn. I remember like reading interviews and, you know, reviews and people like dismissing ska in the 90s, and it's like, yeah, but it's still here and it still has a fan base. So, you know, you can't say that about a lot of genres, right? Like flash in the pan genres, this just keeps going on, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
whatever it is, you know, it's under the umbrella, right, of ska.
I definitely think for the most part, we, you know, all the discussions we've ever had on this podcast, like, it's kind of the same thing that you all said. Like, you know, yes, there is a sort of core to the sound of ska, but every generation seems to be adding to that. And I do think there's a lot of ska bands that some people would say aren't ska bands, but are still holding on to the root of ska, both in rhythm and message, I would say, you know, without necessarily being a slave to just doing the same thing that some other bands did. So, yeah. All right, so we're going to jump into ska news.
Rude girls and rude boys too. Grab your friends and listen to what we're telling you. I saw, you might have heard, but again, you're about to miss me in ska news.
Yes, ska news, where we talk about the latest releases and some cool things happening in ska music. First up, we have a new song from the band Half Past Two. On April 5th, Half Past Two released a new single called called Curse the Universe. This is the third single from the band's upcoming new album, Talk Is Killing Me. The new album will be out on April 19th on Bad Time Records. And let's listen to a clip of Curse the Universe from Half Past Two.
Check the horoscope, reaching for an icon. Who is there to help? And who is there to cry on? Wanna fix it all, wanna fix it all. There's a cloud inside my crystal ball, heading for the downfall.
Lemons for lemonade. Whole world in retrograde.
Curse the universe for the dirt, for the pain. Oh, if I can't curse the universe, then who's left to blame? Then who's to blame?
Yes, I love the new song. And, of course, they're right here from Orange County, California. And they're definitely a band, I think, sort of has, you know, if you look at all their music they've put out, they actually can, you know, play on a bill with more traditional ska bands and ska punk bands. So, yeah, they definitely fall in line. So check out Half Past Two. Next up, we have a new release from the band Los Furious. On April 5th, Los Furious released a new album called Old Ghosts. Let's listen to a clip from their song, Drifting.
Walking around and I'm feeling down. I'm looking at the rocks I've been kicking around.
Listening to this album today, and it's pretty good. You should check it out. They're a fairly new band. I actually had not heard of them until a friend of the show and technically a co-host of the show, Gary from the Backyard Superheroes, he told me about the album, and I checked it out, and it's good. So listeners, you guys should check it out. Last, but certainly not least, we have a release from The Ruffalos. On April 7th, The Ruffalos released a live record called Live at Transplants. This new live record from The Ruffalos is streaming everywhere now. And we're going to listen to a live version of one of their songs. The song is called One Rough Beyond.
Everybody! around all the shit that we breathe. It's a life we live, it's a life we accept now. We elect now, back to ancient days. It's a Babylonian way. This ain't righteousness. Oh, deceived collective consciousness. It's our evil mind where we learn this time.
Yeah, it's a pretty good live record, and if you want to catch the energy of what the Ruffalos sound like live, you can check it out. Before we head out of Ska News, of course we have, I want to remind you all that we have a Patreon, patreon.com/ontheupbeatska. You can check it out there. You get extra bonus episodes, you get discounts on merch, access to a private Facebook page, and all around good times to be had over there on patreon.com/ontheupbeatska. All right, let's break this down. Okay, so we had some chit-chat at the beginning, but let's go around the room and let's talk about the band. Nick, let's start with you. What do you do in the band? And sort of maybe tell us a little bit how you got into playing music at a, you know, when you started like learning an instrument,
like 1,000 years ago. Well, I play guitar and I sing in this band, I got into music when I was, you know, very little. This is a musical household with my brothers and my mom and stuff, and just listening to kind of your classic 60s and 70s music, and then probably gravitated to my own music, being a kid in the 80s, like The Police and, you know, Duran Duran and Billy Idol. And but I remember picking up a guitar and trying to play Rolling Stones, like I had Tattoo You. And my brother gave me a Bob Marley record. I think it was Natty Dread, Chase Those Crazy Bald Heads Out of Town. And then also Regatta de Blanc by The Police. So I'm dating myself, but I was a young tyke then. Just cool. Out of the womb with a guitar.
That's good taste for a kid.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Duran Duran or something would be like, you could maybe at the time they were pretty, you know, disliked by a lot of people and stuff, but and liked by a lot of people. But now looking back, I mean, there's some incredible music they made. So anyway, yeah, that's been a long musical journey to reach here and have these guys, and we're all playing together. So,
Ben, why don't you tell us about what you do in the band, and how did you start playing music?
I play in the band. I play organ and I sing backing vocals. And I always like had musical instruments around my house when I was a kid, and I just picked up. My mom had an old acoustic guitar. She like grew up listening to like Joni Mitchell and a lot of folk music. And she didn't really play, but she had a guitar, so I just picked it up. And I remember I tuned it to what I now realize is open E, but I just thought it sounded good. And I just used to write these like really horrible songs, but it would just put my finger across the whole fret. And I used to just make these cassette tapes where I'd like write my own little songs. So that was, it was like very personal for me at that age. But I don't know. I've always been like very active in like trying to get my friends to have bands with me. I was always like that in like middle school and high school. And I was lucky enough to be surrounded with a lot of really talented people. I don't think I was ever actually in a ska band. My first band was a hardcore band, funny enough. And
do you remember the name of that hardcore band?
We were called Brando.
Brando. Like Marlon Brando?
That's awesome.
Yeah. But we were like that yeah, I don't know. It wasn't like I loved hardcore, but it was always at the time. I remember there was a huge hardcore scene and a huge ska scene in Boston, and then also a huge punk rock scene and many other scenes too. But for like youth culture, it was hardcore, ska, and punk, and it was like you had to choose one of the three. And I always liked all of them. Mm. I sort of gravitated toward hardcore, but then ska was always in my heart. It was always like what I would listen to at night, and I had a love for it and always wanted to play it. I started playing organ kind of midway through life just because I thought it sounded like a beautiful instrument, and I played it in a few bands. And then I can't remember when it was, but at one point Steve Foot asked if I wanted to come jam with you guys. And I had known Steve before this, just through music and playing shows and stuff. And so everybody was, I was instantly just really, I felt really at home with everybody. Everybody is like just very nice, and they're great musicians. And Nick writes songs that have actual, that has space for organ. Like a lot of people will say, oh, play some organ on this song, and it's like already the song's wavelength is completely filled up and there's no space for organ anywhere, and they really just want you to play like chords over it. But Nick actually would write these really interesting complex songs, and he'd say, you know, here's something that I was thinking about, do what you want. And it was really fun, it was different. So I kind of fell into it that way, but
not hardcore.
Not yet.
Although, just, let's not put it past us yet.
Hey, yeah, exactly.
So
as long as we don't hurt ourselves. Sorry, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you're gonna have to, like, in hardcore, you're gonna have to throw that keyboard like across the room.
Right.
You might, yeah. You might throw out your back.
Under a style, like, jump on it.
Wait. Scott, how did you, what do you do in the band, and how did you get started playing music?
I play the drums in the band. I got started playing music when I was like, gosh, I always had a love for drums. I remember, like, there's a picture of me at my cousin's wedding when I was like 3 years old, like on the kit, like with the drummer, you know. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. But then I got into like music and went into got in the band program in elementary school. Music was in my house, it always was, like Billy Joel, The Police, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, I hit punk rock when I was like 11 or 12. I saw Fugazi. One of my friends, their older brothers were all in punk rock bands and ska bands on Long Island. And so I got sucked in that way, and I got dragged to a Fugazi show, and I didn't understand what was happening, but I was like, this is so cool. This is like, it just was like, whoa. And then I started getting mixtapes from my friends, like Rancid, and like, this is like 93, 94, like Rancid and like Social D and like Bad Religion. And I was just like, whoa. And then I lived in New York, and then obviously the Ramones, and then you go to CBGB's when it was still open. Like, I'm kind of dating myself as well. But we would go there like every Sunday to the matinees. Like, you could read about it, and then you could go touch it. And that was so cool. And then I just started playing in bands and, touring, and every band I would get in would get bigger, and then go to another band. And that's how I met like Nick back in the day, and that's how I met Steve, just from touring with them. And then I moved up to Mass like about 2 years ago, and Steve was like, hey, we need a drummer, you want to come jam? So that's how I got with these guys. And it's been about a year and a month or something, and we've done a ton, which is awesome. But yeah, it's great playing with these guys, and especially, like, you know, I grew up seeing Big D and the Pilfers, and it's just weird, you know. It's kind of like, it's weird playing with them, you know. For the first, like, 3 months, you're like, this is weird. But now they're, like, my dudes. Like, Nick is, like, one of my best buds. So it's just, like, it's over. But the initial shock of it was just, like, this is a weird situation, you know, because you looked up to these guys as a kid forever.
Sure.
But it's really, it's a cool situation.
Well, Scott, it's, I think it's, this show last, like, 2 days ago is about exactly a year from our first show together.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
I think so.
My wife reminded me, she was like, it was 1 year since we played the Midway all together.
Wow. That's nuts. Yeah.
It went by quick.
It really did.
So,
but yeah, and Scott lives like 10 minutes from me, so that's awesome.
So
to rehearsals.
So what led to the beginning of Nick and the Avisarys? Where did it really start?
Without getting too, if I get on a tangent or too long-winded with this kind of stuff, just let me know. but it really comes down to, I was playing in New York after I was in, you know, the Pilfers original lineup, all those records and, you know, touring. And then we broke up in 2001. And then I immediately joined my buddy Ron Ragona from Spring Hill Jack, joined this band in Boston, a punk rock band, Lost City Angels. And it was, you know, I was looking to take a break maybe from ska, and I had the opportunity to be the lead guitarist, you know, in a two guitar band, a very more guitar rock and roll type of band, you know, like rock and roll punk rock. So we immediately went on tour and had like a record that was, you know, pretty soon after I joined was on Nitro Records. And
right.
We went out with Social Distortion like within 3 months after joining, and all this stuff happened. And those guys were a lot younger than me and stuff, and they're from Boston. I'm a New Yorker. So there was definitely like a little interesting tension. I was like kind of more the veteran, and these guys were like really hungry. And, you know, I got right back in the van. I didn't take any break, you know. So between those two bands, that was like 10 years of nonstop touring, and, you know, two records with Lost City Angels and some amazing tours, amazing experiences. And I think in 2006 I was super burned out, and we partied really hard too, probably me the least, but that's not saying much. So you know, I went back to New York, and my brother was a musician, a far more established mainstream musician than me. And I started playing for, you know, getting gigs as a sideman, because I was like, oh, I gotta, you know, because the Pilfers, we were making a bit of, you know, scratch. So, you know, I was kind of tired of being on the road, and, you know, we'd go into like a Wendy's, and I would sneak over to the salad bar and like steal all the, you know, eating lettuce and like, I don't know what else. Like,
I forgot that Wendy's had a salad bar at one point.
Yeah. Like seven guys in a hotel room sleeping on the floor, when, you know, I had we got to the point with the Pilfers, at least we had like a sound person, a merch, and we had like three hotel rooms, mm-hmm. and, you know, I could go back and pay my rent and stuff. And so I was kind of like a little, you know, at a certain point, certain age, where it's like, oh man, this is just too tough. So I went back and I started playing like as a sideman, you know, kind of a hired gun,
right,
for better or worse. And there were some really cool things I got to do, like be in a movie, music and lyrics by, you know, with Drew Barrymore and Hugh Grant. And I was in the video playing bass in that, and on TV show Rescue Me with this guy, Mike Lombardi. And the coolest thing was playing for David Johansen. I did a gig for him, which was amazing. But after that, you know, like, doing all that stuff, kind of, it's all like a reaction to what you were doing in the past. And I kind of like wanted to do something that was a little more organic. And, you know, I was going in the studio, in these studios, and laying tracks down for people like playing guitar, and they would just like cut it up. Like, you know, I'd watch the engineer just like, all right, that was great, you know, and then this chop, 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 and everything has to be perfect. And like, you know what I mean? Like that. And there was at a time, I think, all these bands were coming out where everything was this like super produced. Like I love Paramore, but like you heard stories about how they would record one string at a time, you know, and like slow, they would record them like the guitars, like slowed down one string at a time on different tracks and then like speed it all up. So it's perfectly precise, like, you know, and like, so I was like, kind of like reacting this to, not that I was really playing that kind of music, but just that mentality. And, you know, long-winded story, and feel free to cut any of this out. But I was kind of hanging out with James, who is the old drummer from Pilfers. And he has really great, like, taste for, like, indie rock and, like, is really into, like, some really cool music that I was probably, like, more stuck in, which I still am. These guys can attest I'm basically stuck in 1978 to 1982 England. That's probably it, you know, the Jam.
The Jam.
Scott Stello, you're behind me. So James was like really hip to some stuff, and then like he would just start playing some beats. I would be at his house, we'd be drinking, you know, like some 40s and stuff, and he'd just get his little practice kit out and start playing some beats, and I'd just write on acoustic guitar to it. And we wanted to have like a kind of mod band, you know, like a mod garage rock pop, you know, power pop band. So we wrote these tunes, which eventually became our first record, the Give EP. And we were kind of calling ourselves Avisaries because in the Pilfers, we were Avisaries. Like we fought, you know, like, like I was like the young kind of punk kid who was like, and James was a schooled, you know, jazz and R&B musician. So, but, you know, over time we became to have mutual respect for each other. And to this day, so we were like, yeah, we were Avisaries. So call it Avisaries. But unfortunately, then you find out that there's like 10 other bands with that name, including Laura Jane Grace's old band. Was a ska band called the Avisaries. So I was like, oh, we can't. And then I came up to Boston, you know, because James was going out to California and we only had recorded. And then like, we never really played any shows or anything. And I came up here and I ran into Steve Foote in a Shaw's in Somerville. And I wanted to put a band together behind this music. And I was like, hey man, what's going on? I haven't seen you in a while. Oh, you're buying some milk. I'm getting some cereal. All right, you know, let's go eat. Let's go have some cereal. No, we didn't do that. But so I, you know, reconnected with Steve. I probably hadn't seen in like 5 years because you know, Big D and Pilfers and Lost City Angels. We all go back and like played so many shows together. So yeah, then we just kind of assembled a band together. We got, you know, a bass player and drummer, and it kind of went through a lot of different lineups. And I got to the point with this record, I decided to call it Nick and the Avisaries, kind of begrudgingly, because I didn't want it to be a solo thing.
Right.
So, you know, over time, like around 2015 or 16, I think, Ben, you came aboard and, you know, we solidified a lineup. We had Corky, who plays in Spring Hill Jack, but Corky's a little older and, you know, it's kind of like more like always helping us out, you know. He's an amazing musician, but you know, he's in a different place in his life, so it wasn't the kind of like full-on band commitment. And then COVID came along, we recorded, and then COVID came along. Basically, we had a lot of drummers because we had another guy named Scott Capellini, who was also in the Stray Bullets, and he was really awesome dude, but he wasn't fully, you know, it wasn't a, you know, full on commitment either. And but we finished recording and then COVID came. We were ready to release our record, you know, as the story goes for many bands, you know, artists. And we put everything on hold. And so flash forward till last year and like just trying to get a new drummer and here we are, and we're very lucky to. That's a whole other story. Maybe Scott can fill us in on and how we arrived at Ningwood Records and Tim Snow. So it's pretty cool. I feel like we're a new band all of a sudden. I mean,
yeah. So you guys you just released the 7-inch on Ningwood Records. What can you tell us about that?
Well, the way it kind of happened was, I still feel bad about this. It was Christmas morning and I hit up this dude, TikTok.
On TikTok?
Was it? Yeah, it was TikTok because he had liked this. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to see what this is about.
Scott doesn't have kids, so he was.
Yeah, dude, I don't have kids, so I don't have to do anything. And my nephews are a couple states away, and my dad's in Florida, so it was just me and my wife. So I was like, all right, cool. And I didn't even realize it was Christmas morning. I have a bad knack of doing this. And they had liked our page, and I was like, all right, cool. And I figured out it was a label. We were talking about releasing a 7-inch, and I'm like, okay, cool. And I just, like, messaged a dude and was just like, hey. And I explained to him, like, who we are. And he's like, oh, I know Nick. And he's like, yes. Because I mentioned, like, Topher's and Big D. And he's like, duh, who wouldn't want to put that out? And we're like, okay.
Who wouldn't want to? Come on.
Yeah. So,
no-brainer.
Yeah, for real. So we're like, all right, cool. And then that's how, and then it just went from there and just kind of blossomed out. And here we are. I mean, it just kind of happened so fast, you know, it was really cool. It was really organic, and it was just happened so fast. And Tim's really, you know, been amazing to us. It was just real cool.
You know, that this full length record we did on our own, and we started it in 2017, and Ben can attest to this. And we went back and back, like, recording, and like, it just was this epic, like, Chinese democracy, you know, like Guns N' Roses thing, you know, like not that long, but
sure.
And then COVID came. So it's like this particular, you know, it's just two songs, but still the speed of which it's gone from, you know, conceptualizing it. We went and recorded like probably a week at, I think we already had recording scheduled before you talked to Tim, Scott. And we were this
yeah, we
put
did
it out on our own or like try to shop it around. We have some other, you know, label friends we have. But that would have been more complicated, you know. So we went in the studio and we recorded it, and it was already going to production, you know, by the end of January or February. And the only thing that then you have to wait for the vinyl to get pressed and, you know, test pressings. But so it's like, it's pretty awesome for us with our limited time and resources and everything, you know, with our lives, to have a record, you know, recorded in January and out in April is pretty cool. So
we can't
thank Tim enough for believing in us. And, you know, we have a bunch of shows coming up that, you know, at least we got something going on, you know, like a little story going, at least for the moment. Playing with the Agrolites and Spring Hill Jack and Sonic Boom 6 in the next 2 weeks. And then we're playing that Not Croydon Fest, which the Agrolites are on as well. And so we got more movement than we've had in a long time. And we're talking to you, Matt.
Woohoo! Awesome. Yeah. So let's take a moment and listen to Boss Sound System, and we'll come back and chat some more. Here we go.
Siren Claxon Boss Sound System!
There's a boss sound system, and it plays really loud in the park across the street. From downtown, dread at the controls with the steppers beat. Ragamuffin MCs moving people's feet. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I saw
Across the street, not far from downtown.
So we just heard Boss Sound System. What inspired that track?
Boss Sound System is actually a reworking of a tune that James and I think he was just playing a drum beat that's a little different than that. And it just kind of came through, you know, like it's really the lyrics. It's like looking from like a, you know, a Caucasian, you know, person's perspective as myself, because that's who I am. growing up outside in New York City and like kind of like from a distance, like loving Jamaican culture and, you know, like reggae and ska. And then when I joined the Pilfers, really getting educated about a lot of different styles of reggae and, you know, dancehall and, you know, like rockers beats and, oh, what's a steppers beat? Oh, steppers beat. Oh, you know, lovers rock and all this cool stuff, you know, like this, it's kind of like mythical to me to like to think there's all these different rhythms and stuff. And then learning about all the different, it was like a real education because everybody else, I think, in the band was a little more experienced and, you know, they had, some of the band members had been in Skinner Box, which, you know, Jeff Baker is like a, you know, he's like a musicologist of Jamaican music, you know, like, so he really taught those guys a lot. And then Coolie Ranks is like a legit, you know, dancehall, you know, reggae artist. He'd been on the Saxon Sound System. He'd got, you know, in London and stuff. So to actually go right to the source of, you know, this music I love and like learn from it. So it's kind of like, I would say it's not per se a reggae tune or, you know, because there's kind of this power poppy chorus Mm-hmm. It's just like what we do, but it's from our perspective. It's trying to be honest, but I'm like name checking like Yellow Man and Capleton and, you know, Sister Nancy and Buju Banton and, you know, Yabby You and all these. And then like the sound systems themselves, like the this kind of the mythology of these, you know, kind of like thrown together massive, you know, monoliths of speakers and, you know, sound and just it's just such a cool culture. And the fact that like sound system culture is carried across the world, you know, like somebody sent me a picture the other day of like a sound system in like New Delhi, India, you know, like, so there's like, just kind of like out of, it's like not trying to be like a reggae tune as much as this, like from my perspective, I guess, and our perspective. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah. It's a way of honoring the music you fell in love with. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's like, not like, I mean, I guess I'm kind of singing, I'm not trying to sing in a patois or like be anything I'm not, but it's just kind of like name checking all these people and like what I was educated with without like, it's not like, it's like probably more of a rock song and, but it has like elements of dub and, you know, reggae and stuff in it. So it's just, it was a fun tune, you know, more importantly, it's just a fun tune, like fun chord changes and things like that. So
I love really the... fun, like, I was going to say, I love the artwork on the album, the just gigantic sound system. Yeah.
That's a sound. There it is. It's just like a whole bunch of speakers thrown together.
Yeah.
And usually at the top is the DJ and the MC.
Yeah.
And they've got their microphones and they're like up on this like giant castle of sound, you know, and like there's just thousands of people. Like I remember Cooley playing me, like he cherishes, it's like this cassette tape of him getting up on the Saxon Studio sound system in London in like 1989 and doing Legal Shot Pum Pum, which eventually became a Toaster song, and Pilfers did it too. And he's doing the exact same thing, like in the track, and you hear the crowd and they're this like going nuts. Like, and he's like this like 18-year-old kid or 19. And he's, and like, just like listening, like him playing that for me, I was like, that is so cool. Like, that's so, that didn't happen where I grew up, you know, like there wasn't some sound system every Sunday afternoon with like, you know, hundreds of people showing up and like, you know, that's London, you know, or like Jamaica or whatever, or maybe in certain parts of New York, but not like in Westchester, New York. So, it was kind of like, it really captures your imagination. So it's kind of like thinking of that.
Absolutely. So, and I'm sure you all have a different answer to this question overall, but we can go around and discuss it. But what excites you most, or what are you enjoying right now about playing ska music in 2024?
I mean, the same that has always excited me about it. It's really fun music to play. Rhythmically, it's really fun to play. I don't know if I would want to play organ in a band that didn't have some element of ska, because it, or, you know, some kind of dance based music.
Yeah. I mean, that's what music's supposed to be in general. So Scott, what about you? What's exciting you right now about playing ska music?
As we've gotten older, you can see the waves, and it's like resurgence again, like really hard. And you can see the numbers like coming up at our shows, and it's fun. It's danceable. It's like, you can't be mad. Like, it's party music. It's just, so it's like, it's been really, really, it's fun. Everything's fun. And it's like, everyone's like loving and great vibes. I really, really enjoy the shows. They're like, they feel old, which is weird. They feel like they did like in the 90s and the 2000s, at least for me. It's the same vibe. You know, it's like, you can't wait to go to a show. You get the butterflies, like, especially before like the release show and this upcoming run, like, you get that like, oh crap, we're playing with this band. It's awesome. You get the butterflies and you can't wait. Like, you get like anticipation for the show again, and you're like, and I haven't felt that in a while. And it's just a great feeling. It's cool. It's totally rad.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of energy around ska right now. So, yeah, I think a lot of people are excited about coming to shows and listening, and that's always good. That's great.
I like that there's, like, you know, a message again. Like, I like some of these Bad Time Records bands having, you know, like, they're standing with what they believe in, and I think that's part of, like, that goes back, you know, back in the day as well, like, just like having some, you know, we live in very troubled times, so, you know, it's like Two Tone was like a like social commentary with a dance beat, you know, like, and that's reggae too, right? Like,
sure.
So it's like, you can have fun party bands, and like, I love that too, don't get me wrong, but, and if it was all this, like, people preaching at you, you know, then it, that would get boring too. But I think there's a good mix of different types of bands, and, you know, even bands themselves, like, they'll have a fun party song, you know, and then they'll have like a serious tune, and like, you know, it's nice to have that mixture of different vibes, and, you know what I mean?
No, I do. I absolutely do.
I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. Absolutely. It's true. There's great songs with messages. There's great songs about, you know, enjoying life in general. And I think you're right. I think we need it all. I think, you know, I think, and I was talking to someone about sort of this issue, like, within ska, about, you know, has humor sort of watered down the message of ska overall? Has humor gotten in the way? And I always kind of go back to, like, does the existence of Dumb and Dumber, you know, exclude, you know, knock out the power of a movie like Schindler's List? And the answer, of course, is no. Like, we need both, you know, and both have a place. Obviously, you don't want one mixed with the other sometimes. Like, you don't, like, you wouldn't want a Dumb and Dumber in the space of Schindler's List. But there's room for both, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like, some Pilfer songs were, like, really serious, and then some are this silly and fun, and, you know, like, it's nice to have that. Like we said at the beginning, right, there's, like, this big umbrella of ska, and I think, like, yeah, bands like Pie Tasters will draw from soul and, like, and old school reggae and, you know, some trad ska, some more third wave, and then Boss Tones and, you know, the Bad Time bands. And
right. Absolutely.
There's a lot to it, you know. Absolutely. It's not just one thing.
Right. What is something that the average person, you know, the average person being not in a band, what is something the average person, you know, doesn't know that's maybe a challenge of being in a band, or for bands, that they should be aware, or, you know, just something you think is challenging for a band that most people probably wouldn't think about?
Scott or Ben?
Social media, dude. Social media. It's a full-time job aside from your full-time job, and aside from your other musical duties in the band. There's always, Nick can attest to this. This past week has been hell. I mean, every day, 3-4 times a day, on every, it is insane. And keeping up with the notifications and the messages, it's insane. It's unbearable.
Yeah, doing different videos, and then different formats for videos, like TikTok, you can do a video that way. And then I do some stuff in, you know, I don't know if it's antiquated, but like iMovie. You know, like, right, and then you can't, there's only a certain way you can put, you know, the subtitles and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just constantly posting. And it's funny because back in the day, we used to send out mailers. We're coming to your town, and, you know, we'd have people on our email list. And I don't know what's, you know, it's, you don't have to go and spend all this money. Like, we'd spend, like, you know, like, send out like 500 postcards or a thousand, and that's a lot of money.
That is, yeah.
So you can just go on, and but then at the same time, I think people have so much in their stream going past them that I don't know if there's anything to grab onto. So yeah, it's good and bad. I mean, it's just for me, we have a song called The Rules Have Changed, and that's pretty much what it's about. Like just trying to be hip to the new thing, you know, yeah. The new generation, it's like, it's kind of mind boggling how extremely different things are to be in a band today than, you know, like 20 or 30 years ago, or even 15 years ago. So it seems like, I think we got the program where, you know, you have, it's like the year zero, like the Clash said, you know, like when everyone joined the Clash, it was the year zero. They had all like, they cut their hair and they, you know, it's like the year zero. You got to just go ahead and like, you can't harp on the past of how we used to do it. Back in my day, we had to walk 50 miles in our shoes to get to the gig and, you know, like push the van, you know.
Right.
We so many stories of that stuff, but at the same time, I think ultimately bands still have to go out and prove their mettle on stage. Like you can have a great social media presence, which I think case in point of a band that's just crushing it as a live band and obviously have really blown up in the last couple of years is Catbite. Being, you know, but they're so on top of the social media and like being able to produce stuff and like having the energy to do that every day because they know that's what it takes and they believe in their music so much. I think that's ultimately it. Like you can just tell that they really love what they're doing. They believe in the music and that comes across and they're great live, you know, and they're they're definitely worthy of, you know, everything that's come their way and they've just worked so hard at it. So it's really inspiring to see a band like that. For us personally, I don't know if we could, you know, like where we're at with our families and our age and, you know, maybe not our age, but just being able to go out on the road for a month at a time is just, it's really not realistic.
Yeah.
But it's still in the back of the mind for me, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think for Scott, for sure. Ben, you ready to go out for 40 days and like just crush it? You want to do it?
Yeah. I'm ready.
I think we're going out for a weekend down to Pennsylvania, to Connecticut and Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Oh, playing. We'll see how this one goes. Yeah.
We're playing three states in like 4 days and that's like, that's a lot. That's a lot for us. So, you know.
You know, if we could just get national health care, I feel like that would take place a lot of your worry, to be honest with you.
Oh, right, absolutely.
Because that's the major thing that most people like. Look, you know, it pays, you know, we can make money, but I need a job that has health care. That's the only
thing. Exactly. Exactly. Oh,
like bands coming from England, they'll be like, yeah, we're on the dole. You know, like we're good. We get some money and we can come and do our art and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe one day we'll get there. All right. So, I know you mentioned some shows coming up for the band, but, is there any other thing? What's the future look like for Nick and the Avisaries, coming up that you really want, people to come out to?
I think just we're playing the Parlor. Is it the Parlor, Scott or Ben?
Yeah, I think so. In Providence.
In Providence with Sonic Boom 6, which we haven't seen in a long time. I haven't seen them.
No, I haven't seen them. Wow.
And the brunt of it, ourselves, and the first band is the Rins? The Rins?
Yeah, Aaron McKenzie.
Oh, and
They're she's from Dope Up Dolly, so we're really looking forward to that. Those guys.
I'm wondering if that's their first show, because I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've only put out a couple singles.
I think it is their first show.
Yeah, I think it might be their first show. That's exciting.
Yeah, and then two nights later, we're at Space Ballroom in Hamden, Connecticut, opening for Spring Hill Jack and the Agrolites. So,
oh, yeah, at this is not Curtain Fest.
No, that's it's the night before. Oh, okay. So the Agrolites are doing a little run I guess they're this flying in and playing a few shows,
right.
And that's one of them. Spring Hill Jack plays that Friday night, the opening show or party, and then they come back and they'll play Connecticut. I might be sitting in with them on keys, Ben, so I got to borrow your keys.
Go for it.
As long as he hasn't gotten hardcore with them and thrown them across the room.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, it's going to get crazy.
After I'm done with them.
And then we go to, yeah, we play the last day of Not Croydon Fest, number 5. And I think we're second. So if anyone's listening to this and is around PA, we play about 1:30. And the West Kensingtons are first?
Yes.
I've heard good things about them. And who's after us? There's a lot of bands. A lot of bands. That Catch 22 got added.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Toasters are playing our showcase. Who else? Catch. Hub City Stoppers, too, are playing our.
Are they?
Our, I think so. We have a great lineup.
That sounds great.
And Agrolites, of course. Yeah. So,
yeah, of course.
We will bow down and worship.
So, everyone follow Nick and the Avisaries on social media. I know at least Instagram, it's Nick and the Avisaries. Should be easy to find. I'll tag it in the show notes. And so you can be up to date on everything the band is doing. All right. Before we head out, of course, we have Ska Picks of the Week. Ben, why don't you tell us about your Ska Pick?
I got in trouble for my pick because of the name. My ska pick of the week is not on Spotify, I think, but I think you could find it if you Google it. But the band is called Ska Rotem, and the song is called Place to Go. Or actually, no, I'm sorry, Matt. You said that you did find one of their songs on Spotify.
Yeah, we found the song Flirt from Ska Rotem. Flirt.
Yeah, check out Flirt. Flirt's like a good tune. If you can find a song called Place to Go, that one is a great song. But yeah.
It might be on like Bandcamp, and it might be on YouTube or something like that. But yeah.
Yeah. They were like a really great band from New Hampshire, very regional, small stuff. For some reason they were like really popular in my hometown of Quincy, Massachusetts in the mid-90s. We all loved them. And I thank them for getting me into ska music. We passed around cassette tapes. We bootlegged their album. So that's my pick of the week. And yeah.
All right, let's check out Ska Rotem.
Young Lurk, you just fool around. Well, you lead me on when I'm feeling down. I try to call you on the telephone here, but the love you have, but all I know is I'm still love you. Wear a short skirt. Hey, I'm the pervert. But when you're around, I start acting all curt. Try to pick it up, but you won't let me know. It's just you. I don't know what to do. Well, you got me tangled up in that bitch's brew. I try to take it easy, but it's coming out all cheesy, and my eyes are pretty sleazy. Now I see you walk around with your pretty hair. You got pretty things like I fucking care. Well, I do. I'm trying hard to ignore it, but my itchy side for more. What should I do?
All right. I know it sounds very funny to say. Let's check out your scrotum. No, ska rotum. That's it correct.
You could have said the Skankersaurs. That was a band from Maryland, I think.
The what? The Skankersaurs?
Skankersaurs. Yeah. That was a band. For real.
I absolutely believe you. A while back, we did this game. We first did it when we did a live episode where we basically said real ska band, fake ska band. We got two contestants and they had to guess whether or not. And man, some of those names were like, you could go either way. Like, it's because ska bands, there's a lot of ridiculous ska band names out there. But
that was kind of part of the genre, I think. You had to have a bad name.
Yeah. Yeah,
for a while.
Yeah. Well, I think the late 90s is when that started. I think sort of the or maybe, you know, the early 2000s, that's when I feel like I would see that a lot, looking back at those bands. You know, I mean, there probably were a lot in the 90s too, but
yeah, I saw my fair share in all throughout, but
yeah. All right, Scott, why don't you tell us about your ska pick?
A classic song. It's one of the best songs, I think, like ska songs ever written. That's just my opinion. I don't know what else to say about it, dude. I'm really tired. I apologize.
It's okay. But it's Rancid with Time Bomb. We're going to check it out.
Yes, it is.
Scott, I feel like you feel like embarrassed that you're picking that. It's a great song.
I know, I am a little bit. I am a little bit. I didn't do my homework, dude. It kind of surprised me. I'm like, okay.
But don't,
Scott, you're going to pick Suicide Machines. You're going to pick New Girl.
Yeah, I was going to pick Suicide Machines, and I changed my mind last time, at last minute.
No disrespect, though.
Yeah, it's
no, dude, I love Derek Grant. He's amazing. That song, if I can, I'm changing it.
Okay, we're going to play that song now.
Yeah.
Do that one. Right.
Yeah, let's do that one.
Always big up the Suicide Machines.
Yeah, so New
Dude,
Girl.
I love the Suicide. Yeah, dude. And Derek Grant's playing on that is ridiculous. Like, amazing. You want to learn how to play, like, good rhythms? Listen to that song.
Awesome. Let's check it out. Suicide Machines. New Girl. Awesome. Yay. Good job. Good pick. Nicholas, tell us about your pick, your ska pick.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm a classic type of guy, you know, like classic wines, classic foods. And I pick Rat Race by Specials.
Classic.
Great song.
And the video, too. It's just, it's so cool with that piano. It's like... with the way they recorded it, I think, didn't they like, you know, open it up and play on the strings?
Oh, on the piano?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen the video.
Gary Dammers, and it's just like the chord changes of that. I know Roddy Radiation wrote it, and but it's just such a great commentary about, you know, just working, make money and stuff. And about the, I guess it's like more of a English thing too, with the education system and the class system.
Yeah.
But it really tugs at the heart when you hear it. And I guess also this Terry Hall's delivery of all the special stuff and, like, you know, how incredible he's, you know, huge influence for me, this going in as a, you know, I was a guitar player first and, you know, in the Pilfers and other bands. How am I going to sing? I'm not this classically trained singer. I'm not like, and then you listen to people like Terry Hall and like, all right, he's just going to deliver it. How he's, you know, like that kind of singing and speaking and just like coming up with great lyrics and, you know, great delivery. That's like a huge influence. That song really is really super special in every way. I'd say like pretty much every special song, but that's just one that came to mind.
Awesome, let's check it out. So here's Rat Race by the Specials.
You're working at your leisure, but I'm station to press the college bar. Just talking about your mother. That is Jake.
All right, so my ska pick is from the band Omnigon. It is a song off their most recent album. The song is called Web We Weave, and I like it because it's a good mix of ska and punk, and I love Adam's voice, and I love Adam, because Adam Davis from Omnigon is a real supportive dude, and if you didn't know, our classic black and white logo for On the Upbeat is something Adam gave to us, and yeah, we've always been appreciative of that, and he puts out good music, so of course. So here is Web We Weave by Omnigon.
Someday we will find our way.
Good ska picks by everyone. Awesome. Cool. We did it. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me this evening. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Matt.
Pleasure.
Thank
Pleasure,
you, brother.
And listeners, make sure you check out Nick and the Avisaries on social media. Of course, like I said, I'll put links to their pages in the show notes. Check it out there. And thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting On the Upbeat. And until next time, keep listening to ska. You've been listening to On the Upbeat. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you get all the new episodes as soon as they're available. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at On the Upbeat Ska. Follow our Spotify playlist, Ska Favorites. It features all the songs heard on the show. Please consider joining our Patreon. Visit patreon.com/ontheupbeatska to sign up today. And thank you for supporting On the Upbeat.